Please turn me now in the Word of God to the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, and reading verse 6 through to 7. First Samuel, chapter 16, reading verses 6 and 7. Concerning the anointing of King of David. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And my title this morning is A Spiritual View of Life. According to this passage, these verses before us, there is a great flaw in our thinking and in how we view and how we perceive life. And a perfect example in these verses, Samuel's evaluation of Eliab, the eldest son of Jesse, who is the father of David. David, probably the most famous king in the Old Testament. So according to Samuel's evaluation of Eliab, this tells us there is a serious flaw in all of us in how we view life and how we approach life. And just to give you a bit of background information about what is actually going on here, Samuel is a prophet of God. I'm sure you all know this. He is a prophet of God. He is a man of God. And he is so faithful in his ministry. And the king at this present time on the throne is Saul, King Saul. In fact, he was the first king crowned in Israel. And at this present time, around about 1000 BC, he is on the throne. And he has rebelled against God. He started well, actually, when he was younger, but he rebelled against God. He went his own way. He rejected the counsel of Samuel, and now God decides to seek out a man after his own heart, the future king, King David, and he commissions his servant Samuel to go to Bethlehem, where he's only a teenager. He commissions his servant Samuel to go to Bethlehem and to anoint David. Now, anointing, the act of anointing is a very special and wonderful thing in the Bible. Normally, the prophet or whoever would anoint someone commissioned by God had a little cruse of oil, and they would spill it over the head of the person, whether that person was a priest or a king set aside for God's work, and they would anoint the person with oil. And that was a symbolic act that God was setting aside this individual for a special task in the future, a special task, whether it be king or a priest or thing of this kind. So this is what Samuel was commissioned to do, to go to Bethlehem and to seek out this future king. And God had revealed to him who the family was. So God revealed to Samuel that this would be the house of Jesse. The father of David was Jesse, and he had many sons. But God did not reveal to Samuel, and for our benefit, did not reveal to Samuel who this young lad was. He didn't know who he was. He arrived at the house, and there the sons started coming to see him. And when he first saw Eliab, the eldest son, and if we carry on and we read the narrative of 1 Samuel, we discover that not only Eliab, but he was a soldier in the king's army. And he was a big and burly fellow. He was manly. He was strong. He was powerful in appearance. He had a hero's appearance. And Samuel was bowled over by this. He was really impressed. He said, "Surely this must be the king. Look at him. Look at his manly appearance. Look at the brawn. He looks like someone who could be a king. His stature is impressive." Now, normally Samuel wouldn't think like this. He wouldn't really normally have that kind of view of life. He was a godly man. He was a spiritual man. He discerned things most of the time spiritually, because he was a child of God. But he's still a sinner saved by grace. So he made a flaw. He had a misjudgment on this occasion. But we're thankful for it because we have it written down for us so we can learn some valuable lessons. And it's almost as if God is saying through these verses, Samuel, you should know better. You should know better, my child. God's evaluation of Eliab, on the other hand, shows us a disturbing fault that we all have as those who are separated from our Creator because of our sin. We've actually lost, according to these verses, the principle running through these verses, we've lost the capacity of assessing and discerning life in a heart-searching way. We've lost that capacity as those who are far away from our God. And this is the principle that runs through these verses. It's very sad. Look at these verses. They're so profound, and the principle is so profound. And it came to pass when they were come, that is the brothers of David. David wasn't there himself at that time. He was tending sheep, his father's sheep. But when the brothers came to Samuel, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Surely this is the one. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So we look at these verses, and really, if we're honest with ourselves, God's diagnosis of the human race, it cannot really be challenged. It cannot be challenged. Throughout history, throughout the history of mankind, we have always placed more importance on an effort upon the outward appearance, how we look, and our reputation. And we don't think much about inward reformation. So this is true. We cannot argue with God's evaluation. And this is especially the case today, where there is so much emphasis placed upon the outward appearance, how we look, at the expense of our inner selves. This is a sad reality. Well, there's always been pride. There's always been self-adulation and promotion of appearance to some extent in all societies. But today, this has really become such an obsession. This elevating how we look and our reputation, it's reached such dizzy heights, in fact, of pride and self-love, that it makes our forebears look like amateurs. It really does. It has reached such dizzy heights of self-conceit and pride. And a perfect example of this is, well, you've all heard of this phase, the selfie thing going on at the moment, the selfie culture. And this is the indictment in the scriptures of the last days, where people will be lovers of their own selves. People falling in love with their own selves. And this is seen perfectly in the selfie culture, taking pictures of ourselves and all the time. It's worrying. And I don't know whether you have this in this region, in East Sussex, but in London, the new fad is that you have these gyms which are see-through. They're glass gyms, and you can actually see people working out. It's very strange. You see people, you can see people. You're driving, and you see a lot of these gyms now, they're see-through, and you're thinking, why is that? Why do they have these gyms that you can see people? Well, it's because of pride. People want to be seen at the gym working out. So, and society is heading this way. It's getting worse. And we do almost everything based on this principle, how I look. What do people think of me? The outward appearance, it's all important. And it's sad that it is. We elect our leaders based on this principle. Are they fashionable? How do they come across? And things of this nature. We even choose our future husband and wives. Many people don't marry nowadays, and that's a shame, but we choose our partners based on what they look like and what they're into, what they listen to, how they dress, their tastes and style. It's so sad. And we don't look, we don't analyze, we don't look at the personality, the inner person. And putting a higher premium on appearance is the ultimate example of how misplaced our priorities really are as human beings. Just imagine, this is a feeble illustration. Imagine someone spends a great effort and time and energy looking after his car, but he has no interest in what on the engine and the inner parts of the car. He washes his car, he cleans his car, he waxes his car, he polishes his car, but he never sends it in for an MOT. It never gets serviced, and you would say that person, well, his priorities are all mixed up. It's there the wrong way around. If he continues to treat the car that way, it'll end up in the scrap heap. Doesn't he realize that the inner components of the car and the engine need to be dealt with? But this is how we behave when we proceed on life and just living for the outward appearance. This principle, and this leads me to my next point. There are actually very painful consequences living this way. There are painful consequences for living in this non-spiritual way. If all I do is just decorate the outer life and how I appear and my reputation with no regard to the soul, no regard to the inner self, well, for example, things like patience, honesty, love, goodness, self-control, humility, people don't think about these things nowadays. It doesn't even enter into their reckoning that these things are all important. Instead, it's just the outward appearance. There are painful consequences for living this way, for viewing life in this way. The Bible says elsewhere in the letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul says that God cannot be mocked. If I reap according to the flesh, that is, if I think this way, if I view life this way, I will reap corruption. And I'll just name some of the painful and we have to look at these things. Just name some of the painful consequences of living this way. First of all, if I live this way, I guarantee life will become incredibly superficial. Very superficial. Bereft of any real depth or meaning. I won't have any profoundness about me as a person, no real substance. Life for so many is just like a catwalk or an extended commercial. We live for designer clothes and things of this kind. And because of this flaw, as one social commentator put it, we become like a spiritual desert. It's so sad. And no wonder why people get so depressed. People get so depressed so easily nowadays. There's no real depth. There's no real anchor in their lives. And then there's another sad result of living this way in a non-spiritual way, and it's this, that I'm really fighting a losing battle. If I live for how I look and for my reputation and things of this nature, I'm fighting a losing battle. I'm putting all my time and energy and effort into propping up my outward reputation and how I look and material things, and the problem is I will lose out in the end because the aging process will catch up with me. And everything will collapse like a house of cards in the end. It's futile. It's a futile way of living. And then another painful consequence is that my personality will continue to deteriorate. If I neglect the inner self, if I neglect the soul, it will deteriorate. Things will get worse if I just decorate the outer life and ignore my inner self and the spiritual life. I start off proud. I'll become extremely proud over time. I'll become extremely lustful. These things will get worse. And this makes us miserable. And people, you often see it today. I personally don't have any social media accounts, and there's nothing wrong with having them as long as you're discerning and you're careful with these things. But people, so many people who are plugged into the social media, someone only has to make a little comment about how they look and they're plunged into depression. This is so sad. And you see it all the time, and people even become suicidal because of the comments made from some person to another. Oh, friends, it's so sad to see this. This is the consequences of just living for these things, the things of this world and how I look and how I dress. As the Savior said, life is more than what we eat and the things we put on. And it's so true. There's a spiritual dimension to life. There's life beyond the grave. These things are so important to consider. Look at verse 7 again. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Look not on his countenance. This is God's warning to us. Don't evaluate life in this way. Don't view life in this way. Don't proceed down life's journey thinking like this. Can you not see it in those verses? Don't view life this way. Don't be such a superficial person. Otherwise, not only do I experience the many painful consequences of living life just for the outer self, not only is that the case, the painful experiences will come, but also I become susceptible to the deceptions of Satan. That's what will happen if I view life this way. I'll just be putty in the devil's hands. It's almost as if God is saying, through these verses, it's almost as if he's saying, don't be so gullible. Don't be so gullible. Don't be impressed by all the glitz and the glamour of this passing world. There's so much more to life. Don't allow these things to seize your heart, to hypnotize you. Look behind the facade. Life is just a pantomime without really seeking out the real meaning of life. But also, as I've said, without the living God, without seeking into spiritual things, how we can be forgiven, the big questions of life, I become susceptible if I'm living for reputation, for things and possessions and the things of this world, I become susceptible to Satan's deception. And we see this. Many, behind the facade, behind the pantomime, there are ideas and there are motives at work. On the TV, on so-called entertainment, so many things today. The reality behind the appearance of fun and these things, this is just fun, this is just something we can enjoy and this is something just to pick up my mood. Well, behind these things, behind the entertainment, behind these things, you know what, my friend? There is deliberate brainwashing going on. There is to desensitize you to violence, to sexual content, to lower your standards as a person. This is happening. This is happening to us. And if I'm living for the outward appearance, I don't actually see this happening. I don't realize this is happening to me. To Satan, to move me away from the traditional biblical ethic, which this nation once treasured and prized, but to move me away from this way of thinking. And if I'm governed by the outward appearance ethic, I don't see this happening. Well, this is an amazing principle. This a principle is exclusive to the Bible and to the Christian faith. You will not find it in any other man-made religion. This is the true faith. Look at this principle. It's remarkable. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. One of the major distinctions, which separates man-made religion from the true faith from any other religion is this principle right here. Our God is a God who looks upon the heart. He's not impressed with our outward appearance if our heart is not engaged. I could be someone who comes religiously to church every week and does many good things. But if I don't sincerely love the Lord and love Christ, if I've never been reunited to my Savior by faith, all these outward efforts mean nothing to God. And this is, this principle is exclusive to the Scriptures. Man-made religion, Islam or Buddhism or whatever it is, any other religion, they all work on this dangerous ethic that, well, you try your hardest to be a good person, outward acts of piety, these things are commendable. Keep the commandments, be a good citizen, and try your hardest, and God will receive you. But the Bible is altogether different. The Bible says, God says through the Scriptures, you cannot keep my commandments. Don't fool yourself. You can't keep my commandments. My standard is perfection. And one sin will violate that relationship. And who am I kidding? I can't keep God's commandments. One white lie, one hateful thought separates me from my Creator. And so the Bible teaches that radical heart surgery is needed in each and every one of us. If I am to be reconciled to my Creator, if I am to be forgiven by my God, God Himself needs to intervene and to work that amazing grace in my soul. And no amount of religious duties and good works can please my God, because I'm a sinner and I cannot help myself. And my heart is not right with my God. So God cannot receive us in this natural sinful state. The scriptures teach that there is none who seeks after God. We're all under God's judgment and we desperately need His salvation. And we see this reality in how God diagnoses, how God evaluates Eliab. Look at that phrase there in verse 7. I have refused him. Now, if you continue to read chapter 17 and so on, and you go to the event where David gives food to his brothers, and you look at Eliab and how he talks with David, you discover that Eliab is a very proud man. He's a very proud man. And you can almost sense some jealousy with David. And God looks at his heart, and this is how he evaluates him. I have refused him. Our pride and our self-love makes us look ugly in the sight of God. I may be a person who's doing very well on the outside. I have a high-flying career. Things are going well for me. But every once in a while, my conscience aches because, well, I don't really have peace in my soul. I haven't been forgiven by my Creator. Well, my friend, how will you respond this morning? God's evaluation of Eliab is actually God's evaluation of us. I have refused him. I have refused her. Because we rebel against him. We sin our years away. We have no regard for him. Well, how will you respond to God's evaluation? Will you say, well, I'm offended by this. My pride is injured. I will not repent. I am a good person. I try to be a good person. I do good things. Or will you see your need of forgiveness? I need this mercy. I need this grace. I cannot attain salvation. I'm a proud and foolish person. I need the forgiveness of God. I need this transformation which the Bible speaks about, being born again. I can't do it myself. I need to be forgiven. You see, when God starts to work in our hearts, our depravity comes to the surface and it becomes very clear. This is how God views me. It almost becomes unbearable. I see my sin, my pride, my lust, my greed, all these things come to the surface and I'm horrified. Don't despair, dear friend. That's a work of the Spirit, convicting you of your sin. Seek the Savior. He's ready to forgive. He is bountiful in mercy and love. Well, this is why Christ came. He had to deal with our sin problem. Our sin problem barricades us from God. There is a great chasm between us and our Creator because of our sin, because of our hearts. But Christ came to be punished. He was punished as a liar, a murderer, and every other conceivable act of wickedness. He was condemned as a criminal. And he said to his father, in effect, Father, punish me. I will take the lies. I will take the murders. I will take the punishment of fornication and every other sin upon my shoulders. I will bear it, Father, for that person and that person. Punish me, Father, instead of him, instead of her. What amazing love is this? Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldest die for me? Wonderful grace. Oh, my friend, if you are to receive this grace this morning, if you want to be forgiven and receive new life, see your sin. It's painful, but that's what the Bible teaches. We have to see our wickedness. It's only then that we can appreciate God's forgiving and saving love. If I don't see myself as a worthless, wretched sinner, I won't desperately seek that forgiving love which only comes from above. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon His name. Say to the Lord, go to a quiet place at home. Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord Jesus, save me. And if you mean it, God will change you. He will forgive you. He will forgive you of your sins, past, present, and future. And although you'll still be a sinner, you'll be a sinner saved by grace. And you'll be a different person. There will be a miracle performed within your soul, and he will give you power to fight against your sin, a power that you've never had before. And you will grow, and God will change you. He will conform you to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be preparing you for that great and wonderful place. This is the spiritual view of life. This is the view of life that you need. And this is why you must seek the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, while he may be found. Amen.